You can experience Jesus, and when you do, you experience real life.
Previously on Experiencing Real Life.
Okay, well, in the New Testament, when the Greeks translate, whenever the Greeks translate the word divide, it literally means a divisive nature of people who are against God. But in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word divide means a purpose of redemption. What are you talking about? I'm talking about God decided to divide the Red Sea and he caused his people to be redeemed from Egypt.
Welcome to Experiencing Real Life with founder and senior pastor of Open Door Church, Troy Brewer. Open Door Church is a non-denominational international ministry located at 301 South Dobson Street in Burleson, Texas, in the southern part of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You can find us on the web at opendoorexperience.com. And now, here's Pastor Troy.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Blessings and peace on you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Friday's edition of Experiencing Real Life. And I'm not preaching from the pulpit today. I'm coming to you from the amazing Open Door Studios here at Open Door Church. And I'm putting down my amazing 12-string guitar. I got a brand new Breedlove 12-string. Isn't that a beautiful guitar?
It's a pretty one.
Man, I love this guitar.
Sounds good.
It really does. I got it for my Easter concert. We do something called a resurrection concert every year, and I got it for that. But anyway, my friends, I'm in here today, and on Fridays, we do a podcast. Instead of me preaching from the pulpit at Open Door Church, we do a podcast. And I like to bring friends from all over the world, and there is a guy who's been trying to connect with me for some time, and we have a really cool supernatural connection. And I like to pay attention to supernatural connections. And I know, Tim, that whenever God begins to bring together an army, the first thing that happens is there's a sound, there's a rattling, and then The Bible says sinew comes upon all those dry bones, and that's supernatural connections, right?
Okay.
On. So before there's muscle, before there's strength, you know, before there's all
connection.
The others, there's connection, right?
That's
on.
Cool.
So I'm in here with my brother Tim Williams. How are you? I'll go ahead and shake your hand, man.
Well,
you
doing well.
Okay? God
yes.
bless you, man.
Thank you.
And so what is the name of your ministry?
Well, it's Reconciliation Institute.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about the power of reconciliation. We're also going to be talking about a move of God that is here, that has been here, and one that is coming again from the Burleson, Texas region. Are you a Burleson guy? Did you grow up here?
Yes, I graduated in 92.
92. I got socks older than you, man.
Yeah.
Gosh. Well, I didn't graduate that much earlier than you. I graduated in 85.
Yeah, right? That's not much.
But I don't know if you know it or not, but I graduated third in my class. Have you heard that story?
And no.
I'm not teasing. I really did.
No,
but there was only three people that graduated from my class.
Yeah.
I went to a little bitty tiny Christian school.
It's like
but I've been putting that on my resume my whole life. I graduated third in my class. That's a true story.
That's the joke we make with my dad. He was the valedictorian, but there was only 12.
Okay.
So, well, but he's proud, and it got him into college.
There's nothing wrong.
It got him into college.
Well, it kept
he's
me
a
out
wonderful,
of college.
Yeah.
It kept me out because I graduated the bottom third of my class. I had a 91 average. I graduated with a 91 average, but I graduated bottom third, so no respectable college would have me. So I went to BYU, which is the backyard university of Joshua, Texas. That's where I went. But nonetheless, here we are. We're here together today, and the Lord has brought us together for such a time as this. And when you told me the name of your ministry and that you're all about reconciliation, and obviously you are, and once we get into the story, gosh, it's just mind-boggling. Before we get off into that story, I want to just say to you that I am also a huge, big fan of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. I love reconciliation. Why? Tell me about your reconciliation story. Why are you a reconciliation guy?
Well, many years ago, I was reading in Corinthians, it says God has called us to reconcile men unto himself through Jesus.
Yes, yes.
So that's been a long-term motivator, but really, the reconciliation concepts were born out of forgiveness, because I've found that forgiveness is kind of step one.
Yeah, right on.
And so we've got to go through forgiveness conversations, the giving, the receiving. And then there might be some reconciliation possible.
So the gift of forgiveness is something we have to exercise and something we have to carry on from A to B to C to D, or from glory to glory, from everlasting
and
everlasting.
Oh, yes. And it's ongoing. Many years ago, I had to, I don't know how to put it, but basically accept that future forgiveness is required.
Come on.
And so that can be upsetting to some people.
Yeah.
I've got to give you future forgiveness.
Yeah.
Well, what if you do this to me?
Right.
I don't want to set you up to do it again.
Right.
So that's something that is very basic. And forgiveness was really pressed into me in a hard way years ago when I lost my friend.
Okay. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to get into the story of how of your personal loss and then your personal journey with Jesus into the path of reconciliation. But before we do,
yes,
you and I were talking in my office a few minutes ago, Tim, and we're talking about how that, you know, I try and tell everybody that, you know, this same scripture that Paul's talking about, where he's talking to the Corinthians, where he says, hey, we are now called ministers of reconciliation. And the word reconcile literally means the removal of all hostility.
Mm-hmm.
And so our job is to tell the world God is not mad at anybody anymore. He's poured out all of his wrath upon every group of humanity there is, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that opens a way for people to run to Jesus, mm-hmm. for the upgrade of reconciliation is redemption.
Yes.
So I'm not saying the whole world is redeemed, but I am right. saying that the whole right. world has been reconciled. Do you agree with that?
I do. It's available.
It is available.
It's just, it's to use an old analogy, there's a package here and I hope you open it.
Yes. So how can, and my goodness, how we as the church have failed in being ministers of reconciliation. We've gone around pointing our fingers at everybody and everything and saying, God's going to get you. He's going to slam you with a hurricane. He's going to cause a meteor to fall upon you. Something terrible is going to happen. And then we say, by the way, run to him. That's ludicrous.
That probably wouldn't happen.
No.
I know earlier I think I said nobody runs towards trouble. Usually,
yes,
you know, exactly right. If I'm going to get a punishment, yeah. most try to run.
You're in bad trouble, so be sure and run sure. to King Jesus. Man, that doesn't make any sense. You don't run to God for a spanking. You run to God for the answer for
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, for the cleanup, for the wash up.
Well, that message is a message of reconciliation.
It is.
And so it's our job. It's our job.
It is. And so in understanding forgiveness over the last many years, I've had lots of opportunities, right, to give forgiveness and a lot of opportunities to receive it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know that if you've had lots of opportunities to give forgiveness, it means that you've had to deal with a personal hurt in choosing Jesus over your own personal hurt.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. And sometimes it took time.
Okay. Listen, we only have about 30 seconds left out of this first segment before we have our first break. And I want to say to you, the message that you're about to bring is important. There are tons of people that are listening that need to hear this, including this brother that's sitting across from you right now.
Okay.
Right? Okay. My friends, you're listening to Troy Brewer and my brother Tim Williams here from the studios here at Open Door Church in Big Time Burleson, Texas. I'll be back with you after about 10 seconds. We're going to go into a short 30-second break. And for more information, as always, you can go to troybrewer.com. I will see you back here in 32 seconds. Boom.
You've been listening to Pastor Troy from Open Door Church. Pastor Troy would like to personally invite you out to visit him at Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. You can also watch our services live at opendoorexperience.com. Now, let's get back to Pastor Troy as he continues to preach the Word of God.
All right. Back in the studios here with my good friend, Brother Tim Williams. And Brother Tim, if people want to find out how to get a hold of your ministry and what you're all about, how do they do that?
They can go to the website at reconciliationinstitute.com.
Okay, so this is not something this is not a theory. This is something that you actually live.
It is.
And you had a good friend of yours that passed away, and the Lord has done something miraculous. And let's just go ahead and get into that. Tell us about that.
Well, I think a lot of people have heard about this tragedy, and it has impacted a lot of families. It's caused great loss. And several years ago, a young teenager was driving very intoxicated along with, I believe, seven other teenagers in his truck or his family truck.
Wow.
And ended up taking the lives of four people here on the edge of Burleson. And my friend was Brian Jennings. And, you know, just tragic loss for the family.
Let's just unpack what happened. Let's just go ahead and just say that, because that's part of the reconciliation, part of the forgiveness of this thing is the offense of just how offensive this murder, this horrible accident actually was. So I think that, and by the way, what was your brother's name, your friend's name?
Brian Jennings.
Okay, so and you were talking about friends. You were his best man, did I hear you say
that? Best man, yeah. 25 years of friends. Grew up together. Yeah.
So grew up together, loved each other, then ended up falling in love with Jesus together.
Right on. Yes.
And both you guys went into ministry, and I mean, there you are. And this brother was, I think, am I correct in saying that he was the youth pastor at Allsbury Baptist
That's
Church?
Right. Yes, he was.
Okay. Okay, and I want to just say this for the record. Allsbury Baptist Church has been a world-changing church.
Right,
God has done
right.
amazing things with them. I don't know the pastor personally. I've met him a couple of times here and there.
Yeah.
But I know that at the time that this was happening, there were two simultaneous national events happening out of this church.
Mm-hmm.
And one was the great, horrible offense of their youth pastor being killed the way that he was killed. And then also there was the miracles from heaven thing that the movie and the book would end up, you know, being written about. All of that was going on at the same time. And I was just wondered at that going, man, there's this huge word coming out of this region, which has happened here before many times before. And we'll talk about that. But nonetheless, your brother, why was he there and what was he doing whenever he got ran over? What happened?
So, he had his son's high school graduation party over at my other friend Kevin's house out behind Spinks Airport, and they were coming back, and they were bringing the tables back to Allsbury.
Okay.
And there was another vehicle in the ditch, and so he pulled over to give some aid and asked the kids in his vehicle to stay in the vehicle. And he went out and met the owners of the property that had come out also to see why there was a vehicle in their ditch. And then just seconds later, their lives were taken.
So just a car comes flying around the corner, something like that, goes in the ditch and just runs over all those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And the kids in the car saw it happen.
Yeah. The kids in the car were facing away, so they took the impact in his vehicle.
I see.
And then they went across the road, and it just kind of a huge, terrible evening. Big.
Well, then this thing, the reason why it made national news is because when this young man who was responsible for this, the young man that was driving, when he was brought into trial, his lawyer brought something up called, what is it called? Affluenza?
Affluenza defense. Yeah.
It's the world famous affluenza offense.
Right.
And, you know, it sounds like a code, but it's like, well, he's affluent and he can't be held responsible for his actions. And, you know, he grew up, he grew up privileged, and privileged people see things differently and they don't understand and all this. And just the injustice of that and the mess that went on with that. Like, are you kidding me, man? That's happening here. In Texas.
But, and it felt like such an offense. It felt like injustice, like very, very clear. And of course, we heard that from around the nation.
And then there was also other things, too. And again, I don't want to just say bad things about this young man because we got some great things to say about
him. We do.
But I want to get into how real it is that this stuff hurts, that it's very real loss, that it's life and death. And it was just bad. And then there was some videos that came out during the time where he was acting a fool, and then he took off, he ran off to Mexico, I believe, something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so there was all kinds of stuff, and here you are with literally thousands of other people devastated over these lives that have been lost. Your friend, I mean, he made such a big impact in so many people's lives.
Yes, very, very damaging.
And everybody's just like, what are we going to do? And then there's the ongoing offense of the behavior of this young man who's responsible for all this. And oh my gosh, and then there we are. I want to just kind of fast forward from there until now. And there at that time, Tim, I just can't imagine your hurt. I mean, I just can't.
Oh, well, you know, if it wasn't for a word from God during the trial or right after the trial that gave me peace to submit that God is in control, that maybe this is God's will for this situation, even though I would say absolutely not. No, everybody would say that's not right.
Right.
I just heard him and was comforted and could move forward.
Yeah, so you just flat out heard God say, I don't want you to worry. I'm involved in all this.
Yes.
I'm here.
I heard this. What if this is exactly God's will?
Okay. Listen, we only have about 30 seconds left out of segment number two. And whenever we come back, let's talk about that. Let's unpack that, because what's real is now you spent the last, I don't know how much time, the last couple of years, actually working in a ministry of reconciliation with this young man.
Right,
you actually have personal contact with him,
yes.
And we're going to explore that whenever we get back. My friends, you're listening to Troy Brewer, and I'm here at the studios at Open Door Church in Big Time Burleson, Texas. I'm here with my good friend, Brother Tim Williams, and I'll be right back with you in 31 seconds. Hello, my friends. This is Troy Brewer, and you are listening to one of my recent conferences here at Open Door Church. And for this conference and many others, you can find them as video on demand at troybrewer.tv. Now, let's go back to this conference here at Open Door Church. Troy Brewer here, back in the studios. Hey, guys, thank y'all so much for hanging out with us. And I want to bless you and tell you that it's a really big deal that you're here and that you're listening wherever in the world that you're at, man. I call you blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Tim, let's just jump right back into this, my friend, because what's real is after your friend was killed and died in just a terrible way, and the unexpected loss of that was so tremendous. And then here you are, a minister of reconciliation, and you felt some kind of an impulse or something, a drawing of the Holy Spirit for you to reach out actually to this young man.
I did. I attended the trials and on a few occasions had physically been next to or had actually bumped into the sheriff.
Wow.
And so I, the second or third time, I don't remember which, I thought, oh, I guess I should talk to him and see if I can visit Ethan in jail.
Wow.
And so I just asked the sheriff, and he said, I think we can arrange that. There's a proper channel. And I said, of course, let's figure that out.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. And so how long was it after the trials or during the trials? How long was it from the time that the deaths happened to the time that you actually met him?
I would say that was probably, I'd have to look on a calendar, but maybe a year and a half,
yeah.
Because there were the trials in the fall, the December first trials, and then there was a second set of trials because of the trip to Mexico, if
yes.
you want to put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right, man. So you had all this time to process and to mm-hmm. cry and to scream and to holler and to shake your head and wonder what in the world's going on. And then you actually pursue meeting with him. I can just imagine you had to overcome some things in actually meeting him.
Oh, sure. There's huge emotional hurdles. You know, it was just hard to just go and do the proper channel and go down
yep.
there and start that process. So it was big. And then, of course, there's the question that came to me that just kept rolling in my head every other day. Why would you do this?
Yeah.
Why would you do this?
Yes.
Why would you spend time with this kid?
Yes. Why would you reach out to him?
It was tough. It took a long time to answer that.
I bet. And by the way, can I just tell you, that's always the way it is. God is always doing something within us before we have a language for it.
Right.
Always.
Right.
That's the way that, and that's normal Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's telling you something to do and you're walking in it and you still don't even have a language for it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's normal. So you do. And then, of course, and then he agrees to meet with you.
Well, now that was the interesting part is he didn't know me.
Okay.
Right. He just, maybe he got a name from a bailiff on the inside.
Okay.
And then at this particular location, it was video to video.
Okay.
So all of a sudden the video comes on and there he is.
Wow. And so you're waiting for the video to come on, and I imagine your heart's beating.
Oh, yeah.
And tell me what that's like, man.
Just some prayers.
Yes.
Just some rehearsing of, I'm not sure why I'm doing this, and maybe I don't need an answer for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I just know I need to do this. And so we're going to have a conversation, and maybe we'll get a second meeting.
Okay.
That was the extent of where I really let myself go at that first meeting.
So the video comes on, and there he is.
Yeah. Yeah, just introduced myself. I told him who I was, how I was connected to that evening.
Okay, so you did tell him that you were the best friend and and all this. So you told him all that right off?
Yeah, I said, I'm here to discuss things that are biblical, to discuss what you have done, what it feels like on this side of the table, and let's just see where this goes. You know, I hope we can meet again. It's up to you. You don't have to say yes on your end, but if I come back, then I hope we can get into some discussions.
How long ago was that?
It was about February of 2016.
Okay. So you had your what was your takeaway from your first meeting with this kid? What was your takeaway?
My takeaway was that he was broken, that he was repentant, if you want to put it that way. He was had some contrition. And
did that surprise you?
Well, it did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would have surprised me too. Because that's not the press that he got.
It's not anything right. that's communicated out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it wasn't overwhelming, but right. it was a beginning.
Yeah. And by the way, does that make a difference to you if he's repented or not?
It can. Yeah. It doesn't have to make a difference. Yeah. And really, I'm telling you that I could perceive that, but it was not overwhelming. It was not impressive.
Yeah.
And I have to maybe just say, even just this week, he did apologize.
Okay. So how many meetings have you had with him?
Over 50.
So you've had over 50. And it's literally taken 50 meetings before he has verbalized to you that he's sorry.
Well, and so there's been little increments. So right. to say he said it this week, what I mean right. is he fully said it. I could tell he meant it.
Yep.
It wasn't this hem-haw, this,
right.
well, I know, but there's a lot of immaturity.
Yeah, sure.
That, he was very young when it happened,
yep.
and so there was a lot of development and growth that we had to go through.
You know, I want to just throw this out there, and I know that there are people that are listening that might be even hitting their dash right now going, that's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I want to just throw this out there and just tell you, it's not that God will not reach this person. It's not that God will not change this person's life. It's, I wonder if the church will put up with him for the process.
Right. Yo,
and
yeah.
I see that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've literally, and I just can't imagine, brother, you've had to have 50 meetings with
yeah.
this kid
yeah.
to bring him into really the first stages.
Yeah, we just entered.
Of actual repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you talk about him. Like, you know what, brother? You can have that. Can I just tell you?
I don't want that deal.
I just keep doing
yeah,
what
right.
I'm doing,
I get it.
Man. I'll keep
sure.
doing what I'm doing, man. And that's just, but no, honestly, man, I mean, these things are not celebrated upon the earth. These things are so celebrated in heaven, Tim. They're so celebrated in heaven. And I know that your friend sees this and is so glad that there's a work of the kingdom involved. Instead of, the injustice. You know, there's what the blood of Abel cries out,
right.
and then there's what the blood of Jesus cries out. And those
right.
are two different things.
It is.
And both of them are right.
Sure.
But one of them is life.
one is life that lasts.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, one of them is just screaming for justice.
Right.
And screaming, look at how I've been ripped off.
Sure.
And look at the offense of this. The other one is saying, I've taken all that on, and I believe in reconciliation over punishment. But it's hard for us as Texans to believe in reconciliation over punishment when we're the ones who have been offended.
Oh, I had to work through the sense of wanting whatever justice that would look like.
Yes.
It took time.
Yes.
Weeks of working that out of me and then saying, well, Father, I know your justice is perfect.
Listen, Tim, we only have 2 minutes left, and I would like to just give you a full 2 minutes just to talk to everybody that's listening. And there's so many people that have just had so much, I work in sex trafficking, and I save girls out of sexual trafficking all the time. And the injustice of stuff I have to deal with is so difficult. And can you just, I know that there's a lot of people who right now are listening, and they need to hear what God's heart is in the places where they need to have forgiveness.
Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind is that in the middle of that offense, that harm that you experienced, our Father was there.
That's
he
right.
was present with you.
Yes.
And that's very hard sometimes to accept. But when a little bit of time goes by, we can look back and say, well, my goodness, you were there, Father.
Yes.
And another thing that has come to mind is I have found that there is a source of power to give forgiveness.
Yes.
There really is. And it has a name.
Yes.
It's Jesus.
Yes.
And it can take time. To come under that, it can take time to accept that, and then functioning in it may actually take other people to help you function in
yes.
that power.
Yes.
And then it may be that you have to function in that power every Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
It may be that you have to function in that particular power every holiday.
Yes.
There could be season after season after season, but just like weightlifting, eventually,
yep.
it's easier to lift that weight.
My friends, would you just pray for everybody?
Sure.
We still got about 20 seconds left. So why don't you pray?
Sure. Father, thank you that you have forgiven us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you that you've provided that through your Son, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I pray that that gift is extended to all the hearers today. I pray that they, for maybe the first time, just even consider that the forgiveness, the power to forgive that comes through Jesus is real, that they can receive it,
yes.
That it is for them,
yes.
That it is for today, and that
yes.
It is life-changing today.
Yes.
So, Lord, I ask for that. I
yes.
pray that people that hear this receive that. And I also ask, Father, for those that need to forgive. I pray
yes.
that you do something. You send
yes.
someone. You give a word.
Yes.
You do anything that's needed to break through in forgiveness so that
yes.
they will give forgiveness so that they can then receive the forgiveness
yes.
they need.
Yes.
They know they need it. So, Father, we thank you for this. Lord, I pray blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, my friends, I have to jump in right here. You have been listening to my good friend, Brother Tim Williams from ReconciliationInstitute.com. Amazing testimony. Listen, I want to encourage you guys to go there. You can get a hold of him. And guys, for more information concerning that ministry or this ministry or anything that we offer here at Experiencing Real Life, you can call our international offices by going to area code 817-295-7671. Again, it's area code 817-295-7671. Be sure and visit us on the web. The Open Door Church website is opendoorexperience.com. And there is a full-blown archives of all of my teaching series here at Open Door Church that is free. It's online. It's at opendoorexperience.com. And of course, you can join our ever-growing online community because we have a live feed that goes out every Wednesday and every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock. And while you're on the worldwide waste of time, be sure and visit me at www.troybrewer.com. Again, troybrewer.com. Don't forget to sign up for my free daily devotional. And I say praise God for everybody who's standing with me and partnering with me in this ministry as we continue to save girls out of the terrors of sexual trafficking. Blessings and peace on you, my friends. I'll see you on the radio again tomorrow. Well, my friends, we've concluded another broadcast day here at Experiencing Real Life, and you've been listening to a recent conference that we had here. Now, I want to invite you to our next conference. It's called the Invasion Conference, and it's going to be happening here at Open Door Church on June the 12th and June the 13th. Now, you can buy your tickets right now by simply going to troybrewer.com, or you can plan on joining us online as a special pay-per-view event. Hey, I want to encourage you, man. Invite your congregation, man. Get with your small group. Maybe you could show this to your whole church. Hey, get the Word of God into people's life, and let's both take on hell with the water pistol together. It's all about the power of battling a supernatural fight. It's about spiritual warfare, and it's called the Invasion Conference. And again, you can get your tickets at troybrewer.com or your pay-per-view event at troybrewer.com, or you can call the offices here at area code 817-295-7671.